Luke chapter 18. We're admonished in this 18th chapter, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There is in us a backwardness to prayer, and it arises from weakness. It comes about when the spirit of man is oppressed. It comes about when we're weary and faint. It comes about when we are troubled and afflicted. What makes us to faint? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, troubles and affliction, for the most part, causes us to faint. Our weakness causes us to faint. Our Lord said you ought to watch and pray. And the Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But men ought always to pray. And over here in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, let me read some verses here in Acts chapter 4. Verse 24. Verse 24 of that fourth chapter. Now the disciples which comprised his church said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Not upon them, but upon himself. He's the rock of ages, the rock cut out of the mountain. And they're here together, and they're being threatened by the council of the Pharisees and Sadducees and Sanhedrin and high priests. And so here in the 24th verse, it says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. That's prayer, the church. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they said this, men ought always to pray now. And they were between a rock and a hard place. And they had a sense of need. A man will only pray when he has a sense of need. He has a need, and it can't be answered or fulfilled anywhere else. He'll be driven to his knees to seek some relief. And they had nowhere else to go. I'm not saying that they had an alternative or even thought about an alternative. They immediately said, Lord, our God, God, the true and living God, which has made heaven and earth. They didn't believe in evolution. They didn't believe in that. They believed God made heaven and earth. And the sea. And all that is in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? They said the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done, Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that we may speak thy word. Men ought always to pray. And then over here in this seventh chapter of the book of Acts, well, it begins in chapter 6, where the Holy Spirit spake to the church. The church was gathered together, and the Holy Spirit said, "Wherefore, brethren," verse 3 of chapter 6 of the book of Acts, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Men ought always to pray. And so, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, men ought always to pray, they laid their hands on him. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. But there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called, the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them Cilicia and of Asia, disputing, arguing with Stephen. But they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So they give him a hard time. And I'll forego some of that. About the whole seventh chapter has to do with a exercise of preaching by Stephen, this great man. And anyhow, they were so offended with him and so mad at him, so full of rage, that in the 57th verse of the seventh chapter, it says they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Now, the reason that this was brought to such a climax was in verse 55, it says, "But he being full of the Holy Spirit," that's Stephen, "looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and Jesus on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And so they were so outraged and so vicious that they, in unison, they cried with a loud voice. And they put their finger in their ears so they couldn't hear him no more. And they ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city. And they stoned him. And the witnesses, and Paul was one of them, by the way, laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. That was Saul of Tarsus, who later was converted, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. Men ought always to pray. And he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Men ought always to pray. I'm convinced of that, aren't you? Men ought always to pray. Now back to this 18th chapter. In verse 10, or verse 1, I'll read that again, that men ought always to pray. And then up here in verse 10 of this chapter, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. This is what I do. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now this is called a parable. It's called a parable, yet it is a antidote. It is a statement of facts. The Lord, in his teachings, never used a make-believe story. He never used a fable. This is a statement of an incident which did literally occur. And truth is best illustrated by truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ had nothing to teach but truth, but that which was pure truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he illustrated it by truth. He never went into the realm of fiction. He never invented a tale to tell that coincided with his story or his subject. Never ever told a story which was not a fact. He dealt with truth, all truth, the truth of Almighty God. So, I would say, first of all, that it's a good thing to worship God. It says that there's two men went up in the temple to pray. And involved in prayer is certainly worship, because prayer is worship. Prayer is thanksgiving. It's blessing the name of God. We bless Him for His goodness to us. And there is times we ask Him to help us in time of need. And there is times when we ask Him to help others. We come sometimes to His throne on behalf of other people. And I know that you all come before the throne on behalf of your wives and husbands and children, and mothers and fathers, your kinsmen. You pray for them as well as others. And all of that prayer has to do with worship and praise. It's directed to Him, the God of gods. There is no other than Him. So I'd say, first of all, it's a good thing to worship God, and it's a good thing to pray unto God. And it's a good thing to worship God in public. They went up into the temple. We was symbolic, in a sense, to the church. Two men went up in the temple to pray. As a matter of fact, it's good to pray anywhere, whether you're outside or inside, whether you're in the closet or out of the closet. It's a good thing to go and pray in public worship, but it's a good thing to pray anywhere at any time. But he that does not pray in his closet is but a hypocrite when he pretends to pray in the temple. Men ought always to pray. That's what our Lord said. They ought always to pray. It's been the custom, as long as I can remember, and history tells us it's been a custom from the time of our Lord Jesus dwelling upon this earth and the gathering together of a few sheep that was given him before time ever was, and brought them together and established a church. It's been the custom for believers to meet for worship at designated times. On the first day of the week, it indicates here in the book of Acts that they met on the first day of the week. But for a long time, they met every day. That's all they did. And finally, our Lord scattered them out of Jerusalem, and he sent them to the four corners of the world. But it's been the custom for believers to meet for worship. Sheep by nature like to gather themselves in numbers. They like to feed in the same pasture. They like to enjoy the presence of their shepherd. And the sheep of God like to gather together. Where two or three or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And his sheep like to gather together and enjoy the comfort and the presence of the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus. I'm the shepherd of the sheep. I know my sheep. I love them and they love me. They follow me wherever I go. It's not always so that people join themselves together as they are. I think I read a warning in the Bible, the book of Hebrews, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So not only is it a good thing to publicly worship God in the church, we're ourselves together. But just to go to church is not everything, as some people think. The man who does not meet God on the outside of the temple will not meet God inside the temple. These two men both went up to the temple to pray. But one of them forgot what he went up there for, because he didn't pray. As a matter of fact, he didn't pray a word. Not one word did he pray. Well, if we pray in practice, claims as to my prayers being answered. I don't know if any of them has ever been answered. I don't know. But I try to pray. And maybe most of us just try. Maybe there's not any real prayer to it. But I try to pray. If we pray in private, nobody knows about it except you and God. So, now the Lord's word is very plain about this matter. We ought always to pray in public and in private. He says, when you pray, go into the closet. And when you shut the door, pray unto thy Father, which is in secret, and he will reward thee openly. Isn't that what he said? Two men had reason to go up to the temple. They had a reason and purpose to go, the Bible says. That was to pray. Two men went up into the temple to pray. So these two men had reason to go up into the temple to pray. They went there for that purpose. That was the reason for them going. But as I've already told you, if they came merely from custom, from habit, it wouldn't help much. And if we come to the Sunday morning service at this church or another church of like faith and manner, if we come just out of custom, it won't help us much. Maybe it won't help us any. If we just come out of habit or because we feel like it's a thing to do, it's a thing that you ought to do. Well, there's Wednesday night. Many don't come to the temple on Wednesday night. It's the middle of the week. And most of those that don't come that I think maybe ought to come work during the day and are tired and have no sense of their need. And so they don't come. They say, well, we'll go on Sunday and hear the sermon. Maybe we'll be helped there. And so they don't come simply because they don't want to come. And then there's some that do come for custom's sake because they think, well, it's the right thing to do, or some of my friends do it. But I've come to this conclusion. If a man comes to church, if you do not come for anything, just custom, and it's a habit, then you do not get anything. You go away disappointed. If you don't come for something, in all probability, you'll leave with nothing. And you'll be disappointed. But you didn't come for anything. You came because you thought it was the right thing to do. You didn't come because in the book of Acts there, it says that there were some women that met at a particular place where prayer was wont to be made. And Paul joined himself to that group. One of them was Lydia. And God opened her heart. So you miss out on that. If you go into the store and you don't buy anything, don't be surprised when you come out without anything. Huh? If you come to church and you don't want anything, you'll probably go away with nothing. And there's a whole lot of people that go away with nothing because they didn't want anything in the first place. Is that right, Pat? They didn't want anything. They had no sense of need. If a fella ever has a sense of need, it'll change his directions, change his thinking. He has a sense of need. Two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a publican. Strange that one of them would forget what he went up there for. He went up the temple to pray, but he did not pray. And I said he never prayed a word while he was there. If it had been written here in the Bible that two men went up to the temple to brag and boast, then that Pharisee would have won. He would have won the prize, hands down, because that's what he did. Now, this Pharisee was a first cousin to the scribes, and the scribes were acquainted with the Word of God as well as the Pharisees. The Pharisees were acquainted with the Word of God, at least with the letter of the Word. And it says that he forgot. Didn't say he forgot. He said he went up to the end of the temple to pray, but he didn't pray. He bragged and boasted about himself. He made a loud profession. He forgot what he went up for. He was so full of himself, there was no room for God. He thought everybody ought to admire him. Look at me. Let me get your attention. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. But I want you to know what I'm doing. I'm not like other men. Telling God. God knew all about him. The God that made him certainly knows all about him. But he said, I thank you. He prayed thus with himself. That's as far as he went. He prayed with himself. He didn't pray unto God. He prayed thus with himself. And he said, I thank you. I'm not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner, unjust, murderers, adulterers. Unjust even as this publican is. I'm not like him. And that was commendable. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess. A pretty good fellow. He didn't have no sense of his need. But the publican standing far off, who had a sense of his need, there was sin on his conscience. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he had violated the word and the character of God. He knew he was an awful person. He knew he was far off from God. He knew that there was no hope for him unless God had mercy on him. And the sense of his need, brought about by the sense of his sin, caused him to cry out. He would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. He wouldn't even look in that direction. He felt so low down, so despicable, so terrible and ugly in his eyes as a sinner that he wouldn't look up. Felt like I got to look down. I got to hide myself. He said, God be merciful to me. Oh, my. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God said to them two men, one of them went down to his house justified. One of them went down there as though he'd never sinned. One of them went down there that had all of his sins charged to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them went down to his house robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. One of them went down there with a free pardon of all of his sins in his hands. He is washed in the blood. I tell you, our Lord said, this man, not this religious man, not this as he appears to the world, they would say he's a good man. He's a good, honest, decent man. This man who said, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I don't cheat people. I'm not an adulterer like this publican. I give tithes at all that I possess, and I fast twice a week. I do it. I'm such a good person. Listen to me. Tell you how good I am. But Jesus Christ did not come for good men. He come for bad men. He come for sinners who can't help themselves. And when they got a sense of their sin and their need, and that sin pricks, pierces their conscience, they cry out, God, be merciful to me, sin. Huh? One fellow thought everybody ought to admire me. The man most likely to pray was the Pharisee. He was the one most likely. And the most unlikely to pray was the publican. He needed the mercy of God. And he felt like that there was only the sovereign grace of God that could give that mercy to him. And so he cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. And he received pardon, forgiveness. And he was cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. When a man has a sense of sin, he has a sense of his need. So it was with this man. Men ought always to pray, privately or publicly, and certainly be thankful unto God if you're ever brought to the place that you know that you're a sinner and you feel the sense of your sin. Be thankful unto God, because that's when you'll cry out, God, have mercy upon me. He's the only one can. All right.